listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, we pray that you would help us not to be anxious in this time, that we might come to your cross and worship you with our whole lives. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Grace to you and peace this Palm, this Passion Sunday, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The palms of Passion Sunday are significant, especially in John's Gospel. Last year, I don't know if you remember this, but I unofficially called this day last year Garment Sunday because we were in the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, there's no mention of palms. There's no mention of any kind of branches being thrown out. All that's mentioned in Luke's Gospel, Luke is a very kind of a social justice kind of gospel. And the only thing that's mentioned there is that they threw their garments out. And we gathered garments last Sunday, last Palm Sunday. Do you remember that? And we donated them to Taco and to the closet. That was Luke's Gospel. No mention at all of palms. The other Gospels mention some leafy branches, interestingly, being spread on this day, but it's only in John that the actual word palm is used. Really interesting, actually. The reason we have Palm Sunday is because of John's Gospel. It's the only place palms are mentioned. So what is that about? Palms. In the ancient world, across all the different cultures of the ancient world, everyone knew what palms meant. Everyone knew what the symbol of palm branches being waved meant. There was a whole bunch of diversity back then, just like there is today. Just think about the diversity of the ancient world, especially in Israel in that time. Just think of all the crossroads, roads from the east and people that are coming up from Africa, Europe, and the Greek influence. I mean, there's just a whole mix of people there. But everybody knew what the palm branches meant. When palm branches came out, that was a symbol. Anybody know?
The king is passing by.
The king is coming. It is a symbol of victory. It is a symbol of victory, not just royalty, but royalty that wins. It was a symbol for victory. And the Gospel of John makes it very clear for the audience of John's time that victory is at hand. And remember, this is chapter 12. I mean, we read chapter 12 months ago in our progression through the Gospel of John. We're now in 19. But at the beginning of the service, because it's Palm Sunday, we got to read Palm Sunday text. So we had to really backtrack and go all the way back to chapter 12. John is making it clear all the way back to 12 that victory is at hand. Only not the victory that everybody imagines. When we think of victory, even today, when we shout, "Victory!" like if you're playing a card game or something, or even in bigger ways, what kinds of images come to your mind when we think about victory? Think about winners and losers. We think about conquering. We think about heroic generals and soldiers marching in the streets, having just violently, in many cases, crushed the opposition. We think of trumpets and loud sounds and horses, which are always a symbol for war. We think of parades and flags flying high. In ancient days, that actually that spray perfume in the air for these victory parades, so that, you know, the olfactory senses, it's all connected, so that it literally smells like victory in the air. The loser is humiliated. Sometimes they're forced to walk with nothing on or just in chains down the street and everybody cheers. The loser is heartbroken, their head hung low. Anybody watching March Madness when the loser walks off the court? I mean, it's horrible for the loser. They're just down. The coaches can't even say any words back in the locker room. That's just depressing. Meanwhile, the winner is crowned with trophies and flowers and medals. Palm branches are waved high. It is a sign those palm branches are always And everyone knew it across all the different cultures. Everyone knew the palm branches meant victory. Only Jesus' victory is very different. Jesus' victory is in the cross. On Good Friday, we call that day the Victory of the Cross Day. It's a very different kind of victory than the one the world knew back then and that the world knows now too. The victory is a victory of love. That is very different. It almost seems to take the wind out of our parades and our crushing our opponents, and certainly out of our violence that we, like Rome, can certainly employ at times in order to dominate others. This victory of Jesus, signaled in the palms, on the other hand, is a victory of love. And we segue now from the palms way back in chapter 12 to the cross. Does it seem a little strange to read about Jesus on the cross today? On Palm Sunday? What are we doing reading about Jesus on the cross? We've been moving through chapter 19 very slowly. Last Sunday, we've actually been in Good Friday for the last month here at Shepherd of the Valley, because there's so much that happens on Good Friday. We started on March 7th when Peter denies Jesus. That was early morning on Good Friday, and we've been in Good Friday for a number of weeks. Last Sunday, violence won the day. Violence begetting more violence. We talked about the angry crowd, the cruel Jewish leaders, and Pilate, who was under pressure. All of this seems to result in Jesus being sentenced to death and having to go to Golgotha. I say seems to result in that because here's the truth. Jesus was actually in control of all of it, all the way through. This is key in the Gospel of John. Jesus has the whole agenda laid out, and everyone is doing just as Jesus expected them to do. He's been in control of the whole thing. He was putting Pilate on trial, not the other way around. And Jesus way back in the garden, actually, we didn't read this much, but Jesus in the garden was actually he turned himself in, unlike other gospel texts. Jesus came out, it says, knowing what was going to happen to him, he comes forward and he asks, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "We're looking for Jesus." He says, "I am he." He's always calm. He's always cool. He's always in control in the Gospel of John. Does that ever annoy you? I mean, it kind of gets on my nerves sometimes, to be honest. I want Jesus to be a little more human, but he's just completely divine. He's just always calm and cool and loving and in control. It's just not this feeling of Good Friday chaos in this gospel. In the other gospels, there's earthquakes and lightning and curtains tear and all these things. In John's gospel, there's just not this chaotic feeling here. There's not this hopelessness on Good Friday in John's gospel. For Jesus in John, it is all good. And Jesus is totally all-knowing and in control. And already today, he is being lifted up. That's the language. He is lifted up. This is the moment of his glorification, going up on the cross. Today, the crucifixion is Jesus' ultimate glorification. The crucifixion. We get to glory and give thanks in Good Friday this year for a whole month. And it's all good. So a victory of love, different from the world's idea of victory. What does a victory of love look like? If it's not about winners and losers and humiliation and military violence and crushing the opposition, then what could this palm branch waving possibly mean? Where's the victory? Jesus is being lifted up on the cross. It's a victory. Okay, fine. How do we understand that? How do you understand that? We have a clue today in the sign that hangs over Jesus' head that was in our reading today that Bill just read. There's a sign that hangs over Jesus' head. Do you remember what the sign says? King of the Jews. King of the Jews. And then the Pharisees want to squabble a little bit with Pilate and make it say something else. And Pilate says, actually, ignorantly and arrogantly, what I've written, I've written. He doesn't want to mess with it. And in so doing, actually proclaims the gospel for the whole world. The key is that he writes it in three different languages. Did you catch that? He writes it in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. This is the key. It seems that this is all a mockery of the king. But Jesus is in fact the king. It says it right there, and Jesus is in fact the king of the whole world. In the eyes of Jesus believers, they see it, but no one else truly sees that. This sign is written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. That's basically every single language in the world. In Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The Hebrew language were the insider's language. The Latin language was the Roman Empire language, and that was a pretty big group of people. And then Greek basically is everybody else in the whole world. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. We may as well think of it in our context that the sign is written in Spanish, in English, in Chaldean. Those are probably the dominant languages in our neck of the woods, would you say? But put in any language you want. Any language you want. Every language in the world. It was written in Portuguese and in Indian and in Russian. In Swahili, like we sang this morning. In German. In Japanese. It was written in Arabic and Hawaiian and Norwegian. And insert every language that you're thinking of that I'm leaving out right now. Jesus is for everyone. That's what that sign was proclaiming. Jesus is for everyone. And that is a victory of love. Sisters and brothers in Christ, this crucified Messiah is not just for any one group of people. He is for all. He loves all. He loves the powerful Romans who actually think that they're in control of this whole situation. He loves them. He loves these backstabbing Jewish rulers who thought that they had just finally won this whole thing because now he's up on the cross. He loves them too. He loves the crowd that has just thought that they just sentenced him to death. He loves that crowd with all their self-centeredness, with all their addictions, with all their obsessions, with all their grief and pain. He loves all of them. Jesus loves the outsiders who haven't even heard about this story yet. Jesus loves those who have died, those who have gone before us. Jesus loves those who are not yet born. Jesus loves you and me, and Jesus loves our pets too. And Jesus loves that white rhino that's about to go extinct. And Jesus loves the oceans and the deserts and the mountains and the prairies. And Jesus loves the little toddler and the 96-year-old widow. Jesus loves the gay man and the bisexual teenager and the soccer mom and the divorced dad. Jesus loves the stars and the moons and the planets. Jesus loves the scientists and the atheists and the fundamentalists. Jesus loves the Fox News followers and the MSNBC loyalists. Jesus loves Barack Obama. And Jesus loves Donald Trump. Jesus loves Hillary Clinton and Jesus loves Steve Bannon. Jesus loves the members of the NRA, and Jesus loves all the children who went out and protested yesterday against them. Jesus loves the East Coast, and he loves the West Coast, and he loves everyone in between. This is the victory of the cross. This is love outpouring. As Jesus stretches out his arms on the cross, do you see? Do you see how this is a victory of love? It's all there on the cross. This is actually the moment, the ultimate moment of Jesus' glorification. And I'm glad we get several services to celebrate this and to be in this where Jesus is on the cross, because this is a good thing. You could say this is the highest moment in all of John's gospel. We ought to sing "Lift High the Cross" today. Lift high the cross. There is no ascension, actually, in John's gospel. Jesus never goes up way, 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 way up into the clouds. That's a different gospel. Just suspend that for a little bit and think about that. In John's gospel, Jesus stays. He abides with us. All he does is breathe the Holy Spirit on the disciples. And then he stays. This is as up as it gets here on the cross. And I say, thank God, Jesus stays. And we know how it all ends. We know what happens next Sunday. We know that Jesus conquers death and lives eternal, and in that way brings us into this life eternal too. Jesus rising from the dead. Yes, Easter is next Sunday, and that is the great day of resurrection. But here's the thing. it's not going to be a surprise for us. We've been tracking Jesus all this way, haven't we? Looking at Jesus in this calm, cool way, this victory of the cross even today, it's no surprise. Jesus is going to rise from the dead. Yeah, we figured. I mean, look at it. It's just victory after victory all the way through. It is love outpouring for this world, this unconditional, universal love. It's been pouring out all this way through the Gospel of John, and it has been pouring out through our lives as well. This is the victory of the cross. This is the victory of love. And friends, once again, all we can do is give thanks for it. All we can do is give our awe and our worship, that is our sacrifices, what's worthy of our sacrifices. That's what worship is. All we can do now is follow after this Jesus, is listen to this Jesus. If Jesus' love is for all, as that sign indicated, if Jesus' love is for all, that means all are invited to come and see this Jesus. All are invited to follow this one who goes to the cross. And so that's you. And that's me. We're all invited in a new way at the beginning of this new Holy Week to follow after this Jesus and ultimately, to just bask in this love that wins. To just bask in this mercy and in this peace. Now that's worth waving palm branches for. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!